Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Neutral Game. I'm Colin Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Meandrug from Score Attack, I guess.
Yep. And we're back to bring you another episode, because, you know, fighting game world is deep and complicated, and easing you into it is going to take more than just one episode. Because last time we talked about, you know, good techniques for getting into fighting games and how to sort of find a fighting game that's for you. And we wanted to move on to some more advanced stuff, but I thought about it and I was like, well, I feel like before we really get people deep into it, we need people to understand why they're winning and why they're losing, right? Like what areas they need to be strong in.
Basically, what factors in to your standard fighting game match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And what factors into making a player good or bad as well, you know? And so I start off with the question of what makes a great player. And I thought about it and I boiled it down to, I would say, four factors, which I called knowledge, execution, understanding, and fortitude.
So that's,
and I guess we could trade off.
Yeah, that's your character sheet for your fighting game persona.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we could probably trade off explaining what each of them are.
Just for reference, we're kind of just like naming these with what feels right. We're not really referencing any particular written study on it because I don't think there's like that many studies and fighting games in particular beyond YouTube and blogging analysis.
Yeah, Daigo Umehara wrote a book about some of this stuff, which I sadly have not read. And I think probably he goes into it a little, but I have not read that. So this is mostly just sort of our collected understanding and observation about how the games seem to work and how people do well.
Yeah.
So, first off is knowledge, which is really pretty straightforward. It's how much do you know about the game? It's a measure of how much, like, data you have. If you know all the moves, if you know all the systems, if you know all the, like, the glitches and such, if you know a bunch of combos, and that's just know them, that's just understand that they're there. Then you have a lot of knowledge about the game, and that can be really valuable.
Yeah, I'd say this goes into layers of how much in depth you go, because at some like most basic surface layer, there's enemy takes damage when hit, enemy takes guaranteed damage with super moves. You can stun enemies, dizzy them. This is how that works. So that's kind of the surface systems, the things you just look at the game screen and understand, and then you go more in-depth into how health is calculated. Is it a run number, or does it vary as you go further? Like, you know, in Street Fighter, it's a run number, how much health you have, but in Guilty Gear, because you get more defense, as the less health you have, it becomes a variable, and it kind of keeps going more in-depth from global systems to individual characters. Then you kind of go to the character you're playing, like, okay, which moves are good, in which situation, which moves are bad to use at other given situations, and then you go into a further layer, which is frame data, which is the thing everybody quotes as the thing they hate about fighting games when playing on a surface level. It's kind of like, oh, I need to know whether this move has 10 startup frames before it actually hits or not, and then after you go from your own character, then it's knowing that thing for each individual character. And of course, if the cast of the game is like 20 plus characters, it becomes this massive amount of information that's very unlikely that you will actually know at all times.
And so it's really easy to see how someone might win a match with superior knowledge at low levels, right? Like they are using a move and the other person doesn't know how it works, right? But even at higher levels, you'll still see it a lot of the time. Like, you'll see people pull out a win because a person is doing, let's say, what's called a block string, which is where you're chaining moves together to keep the opponent blocking so that you can keep the pressure on them. And the other person gets a move in the middle, because they know when the person doing the block string doesn't, that it isn't actually a true block string, that if you time your move right, you can actually interrupt it. And that changes matches.
Yeah.
So at every level, this is key.
Yeah. And of course, the more variable the systems are in the game, the more something like this will have an impact. Like, again, that block string example. In Street Fighter, you're either blocking or not blocking. But then in some other games, you have something which is called an instant block, which is a block that you do at the last possible moment. And that gives the move different properties. It basically means, oh, this block string is true if I'm blocking, but it's not a true block string if I instant block at a given moment. So then you have, again, just these million little factors that, depending on the actual complexity and the number of systems in the game, just can become so intimidating.
Yeah. But of course, some of those, like, especially with instant blocking, your knowledge gets sort of filtered through your execution, which is the next one. And Mia, why don't you handle that one?
Yeah, execution, I think the most basic thing people would associate with that is being able to input a move when you want to. And at a, I guess, fundamental level is being able to input the moves that your character has, which we call specials, or which more casual players call, I don't know, cheap tricks or whatever. Like Ryu throwing a fireball is a special move. Him doing a shoryuken and flying up is a special move. So basically anything that requires a motion that is abstract, it's like a shortcut to do something special. For example, forward punch is punching forward. Down punch is punching down. But if you do down forward and then punch, that's a special shortcut motion. And that then tells the game, okay, he input this shortcut. He told the game to do this move and then he does it. That's basically what it does, because then you don't have to have one button for every special move and basically use a massive keyboard to play fighting games. Instead, you're using the little input tools you have to get whatever you want out. And execution, like I said, the basic level is probably special moves, I'd say. Like, maybe on an even more basic level is being able to do just punching, kicking, your basic one-button moves when you want to. But then the deeper it goes, it becomes... usually the combo thing is the next level people associate with execution. You know, being able to string several moves together reliably. And depending on the game, that can be just, you know, being able to time it right or being able to execute it quickly enough. Or, you know, if it's a delicate move, like a very timing-based move, like a parry or a grapple, then it's not much about actual physical execution, like how long the input is. It's just knowing the right moment when to do it and being able to do it on reaction or on prediction.
And also you have things like mix-ups or setups, which are basically... A mix-up is when you are doing a move or a series of moves in such a way that the other person has a hard time telling how they're supposed to block it. And then a setup is when you intentionally do a series of moves to make part of it hard to block. An example would be there is a setup that you can do in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 with a certain team that is pretty infamous, where you do an assist where one of your characters jumps in to help you and throws out like a flurry of punches, and the enemy basically has to block that, and you are standing behind them charging up an unblockable attack. They have to block those punches so they can't move, and thus they can't avoid the follow-up unblockable attack, and they are caught in a combo. That's a setup. And that's a pretty basic one. There are a lot more ones that use like traps and such, but it's all execution based, because if you screw up the placement and the timing of that, then you're going to whiff and you're going to get punished pretty hard.
Yeah. I'd also say you can break down execution, like rather than a global thing, you can also, break it down further into, you know, combos, doing like setups, doing what move you want, when you want, in the sense of if you're really good at combos, it doesn't necessarily mean you're good on doing certain moves and reaction. It's kind of like one of the things, because I guess execution is one of the most controversial parts of fighting games, because a lot of people like to cite that as their biggest hurdle, and also a lot of new fighting games, they like to cite, oh, we're making, you know, inputs easier, we're making combos easier. Maybe most infamously, was it what was the free to play robot fighting game? I forget the name.
Rising Thunder.
Rising Thunder. Yeah, like they were pretty much having their selling point as, you know, you press a button, you get your special move out. And another game made by Serlin, who is a big name in fighting game theory and design, I'd say. He is making a game that is also now light on execution, like combos and stuff like that. I wouldn't necessarily say it might be the biggest hurdle. I guess that's a different topic altogether. But I just say that you being good at combos doesn't mean you will be good at parrying or grappling or just other aspects of it. And at the end of the day, it is like playing an instrument where, you know, eventually, if you practice a combo long enough, eventually it'll get into your head and your muscle memory. So it's just a matter of how long does it take you, and then when you can do it in an isolated environment, you know, can you do it in an actual match as well? That's also part of execution. You know, it's easy to do a combo on a standing training dummy, but doing a combo in the middle of a match where your opponent is constantly moving and making decisions, you have to realize, okay, did I just get the moment where I can do my combo and react to that as well?
Yeah, and so one thing, actually, just as a quick tangent, there was a tip that I got a few years into my life in fighting games, which it's proved invaluable for my execution, which was a practicing tip. If you go and practice a combo in the training room, it's great if you can sit there and hit it out on a training dummy, but that actually records to a different part of your brain than the part you use when you're fighting someone who's moving around and reacting. So if you feel up for it and you have time, after practicing it against the training dummy, just turn on the bot AI in the training room and have the bot, like even on the lowest difficulty, just try and move and hit you and then try and do that combo. It's going to be way harder, but that practice will then actually be really useful in a proper match.
Yeah. I guess we're going to move to the next one, which is the understanding aspect, which you can take off.
Sure. So understanding is, it's one of the ones that I'm not super confident on the phrasing, but understanding is your ability to sort of, it's both your judgment and your reading of your opponent. If you have really high understanding, then that means two things. It means, one, you have a good sense just sort of from how the match is going, like basically how it's going to continue. You're like, okay, like thus far it's been a zoning game, right? They've been throwing a lot of fireballs at me and they've been keeping me at bay, but I've been slowly getting in on them. And I think the last part of this match is going to be, like, really fast, right? And you're like, okay, I know that. And that means I can sort of prepare for what this match is going to become. Or another example, sort of the more direct example, is just sort of like, I've been fighting this guy, and I've been noticing his behavior, and I've been kind of seeing what type of guy he is. And based on that, I can get what are called reads, like just these moments of insight where you're pretty sure you know what the other guy's gonna do. It's like, oh, he's gonna super, like, right now. Like, there's, scientifically, looking at what's happening right now, he shouldn't super, but he's about to. And you block and he supers. And you're like, yep, got him. And understanding is one of those things that's hard, it's definitely hard to train. It's one of those ones that is perhaps a little more innate, which is disappointing. But as you play a bunch against other people, your understanding will get better. It is still something you can improve. And obviously, it's going to be better. Like, it's not as much of a constant. You can have a higher overall level of understanding, and when you watch really good pro players, they will. But you will have probably better understanding against a friend you play all the time than a random online. Except for some randoms online are really predictable. But, yeah, it's just your ability to sort of basically read the future, and it absolutely wins matches.
I'd say that also depends a lot on the game you're playing, simply because, let's say if you're playing a game that doesn't have too many options per player, what you'll often encounter is, if you're in a certain position, like the opponent's underground and you're standing up, and the opponent is about to stand up with their character, they can do something under wake-up, and that essentially, if he has two or three options that he can do at any given moment, it's much easier for you to guess than if he has, say, six options he can do. So even if you're not as good at predicting things, you can always go for what would be the optimal thing to go here. And people usually go towards optimal options, especially in higher level play, like mid to high level play. I feel a lot of people try to go for optimal options simply because, you know, doing what isn't optimal isn't usually worth the risk. And if you do it, you know, if you trick someone by doing something unpredictable and you land a hit, chances are you're not going to do that a second time. It's very hard to do that a second time in the same match or in the same set of games. So even if you're not really good at reading players, predicting what they're doing, you can still use kind of your knowledge part of the game to supplement that and kind of mitigate the penalty from not being able to read enemies properly.
And I feel like one of the... our next factor is fortitude. And I feel like fighting someone with really high understanding is one of the things that is the hardest for my fortitude, you know? When I feel like they know what I'm going to do all the time.
Yeah. So I'd say, like, fortitude is... fortitude, a.k.a. willpower, a.k.a. I don't know what RPG term we can still use for that. But it's basically how focused you are and how cool you are during a match. And obviously, you know, playing a match online versus playing a match in person versus playing a match in person at a tournament center stage has different requirements in terms of how actually focused you need to be. And that's usually just basically not getting frustrated. I'd say that's the easiest way to explain it, because if you get frustrated, if you lose your cool, you'll hesitate, you'll drop inputs you usually don't drop, and you'll fall for things you usually don't fall for. And also, your opponent will get away with things they know they usually wouldn't be able to, just because they realized, okay, you're hesitating. Just to give an example, I was, last week when I was playing Street Fighter, I was playing, ranked matches online, and I lose the first match, against, Alora, and then we do a rematch, and then on the first round, she wins, and then in the second round, she was about to win, like, she was at half health, and I was at, like, a sliver of health, and I managed to block everything in a corner and just kill her in, I don't know, three combos. And after that, that Laura player played completely differently than how they played the previous match. They were super defensive. They were dropping some inputs that they weren't dropping before, because that situation turning around completely threw them out of whack, and they ended up losing because of it. And, you know, that can win you or lose you matches. If you get surprised by something, if you get humiliated by something, you know, somebody does, I don't know, a fatality on you in Mortal Kombat in front of a bunch of people or other stuff like that, it can shake you up and it can cost you matches.
And that's one of those elements you said, in front of a bunch of people. And that's a big part of fortitude, is there's actually, like, a lot of like, performance anxiety and stage fright wrapped up in there too, right? Like, you can have, your fortitude can go to pieces just because you're frustrated at how a match is going, or you're like, oh, I hate this matchup, and it gets you anxious. But you can also just be a person who is not comfortable on stage. And this is one of those ones where I'm not a psychologist, but I can assure you that is a thing that you can work on. But that one is hard.
You can work on it. As an example, something out of fighting games, I wasn't really that good at presenting things. I wanted to get into, like, not public speaking, but I wanted to do, you know, some presentations and panels. And the first ones I did on video games were terrible. I had absolute stage fright, and they were completely nervous. But I had to go through a bunch of them, and now when I do them, you know, I still get a bit nervous, but I managed to carry myself much better and not give it away as it's going on. And you can do that with stage fright. You can do that with general anxiety. You know, if you're anxious about streaming games online, or if you're bad at commentating when streaming fighting games online, you'll get better by doing it more and more. It's just it's a pretty long process, but it's also, you know, a real-world skill that's useful.
Yeah. And I feel like the thing about fortitude is that all the other three are going to be, to some extent, limited by your fortitude. It doesn't matter how much you know about the game, it doesn't matter how sick your combos are, and it doesn't matter how good your reads are on your opponent. If you fall to pieces in the match, then that's kind of the ball game.
I mean, I'd say that's true for every individual thing, like skill that we mentioned, because I've met people who, for example, give me a rundown of how my Hakumen in BlazBlue is bad, and then I ask them, okay, since you know how this character is supposed to work better than I do, can we just, like, and I say that non-sarcastically, like, can we just do a few matches and you can show me what I'm meant to do, like, in practice? And the person is like, oh, well, I actually just know what you have to do. I'm actually not that good at playing the character, and you'd probably defeat me. And you know, that just you have those kind of situations. You can know a lot about the game, but just don't know how to use that in practical situations. And it's not due to fortitude, it's just like you're bad at executing things.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. So I think we can move on to sort of like seeing how these are implemented. We talked about it a little bit, but just sort of how do these different elements and what will decide a match? So obviously we talked about the three, like, with knowledge. Now, the knowledge gap can decide matches where one person is using knowledge that the other player doesn't have, where they know about a move or a setup that the other person doesn't, or they have understanding of game systems that the other person doesn't. Or you have the execution gap, where someone is basically, it's combos, right? This one you run into all the time, where it's like, I, as a person with very poor execution, will lose a lot of matches where I feel like I've got the other guy figured out. But when I hit him, I get about 200, 300 damage. And when he hits me, he gets about 2,000. And it's like, well, my reads are not good enough to keep up with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, a lot of these, I have to emphasize this all the time, a lot of these always depend on the actual game and the systems it has. And just individual characters in the game. Because at the end of the day, combo is capitalizing on an opportunity. You don't necessarily need them to win a match. It's just like you said, it's the difference between getting 200 damage in and getting 2,000 damage in. But in this hypothetical situation where you're so bad at combos, but good at everything else, where your opponent never gets a combo off of you, but because you're defending everything, but you always only keep hitting him bit by bit, that can happen, you know, and you can still win. Mm-hmm. And you won't look fancy while winning, you know, you're not going to be doing anything like fancy, crazy combos, but you can still win. And, you know, it goes also, like, if you're eating a lot of combos, you can still kind of inch your way towards victory if you play a character that has a few really heavy hitting moves. Like, you know, like somebody will do a combo on you with 20 hits, and do 2,000 damage, but also you have one special move that does that much because your character is just that type of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of characters where combos aren't as essential to their bread and butter in various games, and that can be really helpful for people with that type of execution, because those characters usually have another type of execution.
Yeah.
But there's also the understanding gap, which is just is someone in someone else's head, right? If one player is like, I have figured this person out, you know, the phrase we use a lot in the community is download complete, right?
Yeah.
Nope, I've got this guy. I know what he's going to do. I know everything now. And then you can just kind of do what you want because you know what is going to happen. Because you've basically reading the other person's mind, and then you're very likely going to win.
Yeah, yeah. You can narrow that gap a lot, and I think it takes a lot of self-discipline when you're, as you say, downloaded. One of the good practices, like if you're struggling overcoming that gap against other players, one good practice I do is just do little things that I feel will, I train myself to reset how I approach things, like just a banal things like Blaze Blue. I change my character's color to a color I don't usually use, or I pick a song that I like in general that hasn't come up yet. I don't do those kind of things, and that helps me kind of, even if I lose that match, it's kind of like segmenting it and saying, okay, for me, this is my new set of matches, the new set where I'm picking a new color, and then you can kind of feel like you're starting all over. But again, it takes a lot of self-discipline to do those sort of things.
Mm-hmm. And also time can help. Like, this is going to be trickier to do online. In some games, you won't really have the option. In some, you will. And also offline, you nearly always do. But when a match ends and you're going to continue with the next game in the series, and you're like, I am shaken right now, it's totally fine to take a minute and just sort of recompose yourself. Like, sit on that play again screen, sit on that character select for a second, and just think about, like, clearing your headspace and starting over fresh.
Yeah, yeah. Just little things that'll stop you from going on autopilot or just getting into a loop where you keep getting frustrated with yourself.
Mm-hmm. And the last two are ones that I don't, like I said, what decides matches, right? And we have to be fair and discuss all the factors, but these ones I don't want to put too much emphasis on. And the first one is bigger than the other, which is the matchup gap. There's a concept in fighting games of the matchup, which is, statistically, when these two characters fight, given their tools and their advantages and their disadvantages, who is more likely to win? And generally, it's rated in terms of, like, out of 10, right? Like, an even matchup would be a 5-5. A matchup slightly in one character's favor might be a 6-4. A matchup that's catastrophically in one person's favor might be a 9-1.
Yeah.
10 zeros are basically only ever mentioned as a joke.
The worst I've ever seen was in the first Blaze Blue, one character having a 9-1 matchup against every single other character, except one other that which against they had 8-2.
Yeah. Yeah, the first Blaze Blue had some real issues. I remember I was in the middle of I was playing a lot of Super Smash Bros. Brawl, like semi-seriously, and I was sort of having this slow learning process of figuring out, like, maybe this game isn't that good as a fighting game. Like, it's a fun game, but as far as a competitive fighting game, it has problems. And at the time, I was having trouble coming to terms with that, because I thought Melee was really good at that. And I remember being like, well, my friend keeps beating me with this character. Let me look it up. Oh, it's an 8-2 matchup. Oh, it really is pretty close to that with everyone else, too, huh? And I was like, so sometimes you're going to be in a match where it's just like the matchup is just not in your favor. And, like, that's not certainly not a thing you can't overcome. People overcome it all the time, especially with different playstyles. If you're playing differently than your average character plays, then people aren't going to know how to prepare for that, and you can have some pretty serious results with that. And also, the other thing is that the matchup information is based on what's been done and what's been seen. And if you're doing stuff that people haven't seen before, then that data can be totally wrong. That data changes all the time.
I mean, in Melee, since you mentioned it earlier, that hasn't gotten like any official updates, and it had tier list change over the course of years just because someone decided to sit down and figure out new things with a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always learning happening on, and our understanding of games is always changing.
I mean, matchups are essentially an advantage, but that advantage means less. This is really odd to explain, but at the lowest level of play, matchup matters a lot. Like, if we're just starting out playing a game and you pick a stronger character that has an 8-2 matchup against me, you're likely going to destroy me. And then as you get to somewhere on the medium skill level, you can kind of, you'll train yourself against your bad matchups, because generally you want to cover your weaknesses, and you'll get better with handling that, and it won't be as much of a problem. But then you get to super high skill level, where it isn't as impactful as the like lowest level play, but it becomes a big factor again. Like, two super skilled players, like super skilled tournament level players, they might have certain advantages with certain matchups. Again, it's a weird kind of like dynamic. It's hard to say that it is a deciding factor, but it's also not completely negligible. Like, you can overcome it, but it might be one of the reasons why you lose. But it's also, if you're a good player and you know a certain character is very difficult to defeat, you'll probably be spending time against that character trying to figure out what you can do. So it ends up like equaling out the things, because yes, this character is objectively better than my character in this matchup, but I've been practicing so much against this character that I know how to play against him.
And also, one thing we talked about last episode is sort of ways to help, for more experienced players, to help their friends get into games. This is actually a really good one. Play when you see them pick someone and you're like, ooh, they've got a really bad matchup against so-and-so. Like, if I pick this character, it's going to be really hard for me. Then do it. Put yourself in the corner and they'll have a good time, and you won't necessarily have to hold back because maybe the matchup is that bad. This is not exactly a fighting game, but my friend Jennifer came to visit me recently, and we played Super Puzzle Fighter, and I am a fucking shark at Super Puzzle Fighter. So Jen just picked whatever she want, and I picked Dan, who is... it's hard to describe in normal fighting game terms how bad Dan is, because he... Super Puzzle Fighter is like Tetris. Or I guess it's more like Puyo Puyo, where you're dropping these blocks on people and then they match colors sort of to hit you back. And everyone has a pattern of blocks that they drop. And Dan only drops red. He just drops a wall of red. So by dropping a mix of colors, you can sort of block people's combos. What Dan does is he drops you basically, like, he's throwing ammo at you. And if you survive the ammo hitting you, then you hit him back way harder. So it was a really interesting challenge to me, because I was having to play a very different game, because if I would hit Jen with, like, an attack or a series of attacks, and she would survive, I was done. And so it was a really interesting way for the matchup to force me to play the best I could and have a really good time, but also be a lot more fair to the newcomer.
Yeah. I think that covers it.
Mm-hmm. Our last factor, look, I have to say this because I said, what decides matches? And I want to discuss all of them. Sometimes luck will decide a match. It can make a difference. it is almost never the only factor into why a match doesn't go your way. And I, like, if you're real salty and you just need it, you can walk away and say, man, that guy got lucky. But it's don't.
It's poor sportsmanship because you're devaluing the skill of the other opponent and trying to demean their victory. And it's generally in tournaments or whatever, or generally anything competitive, you kind of want to stay, to have sportsmanship. But
and even if you don't care about sportsmanship, it's just not helping you, right? Like, if you fight a really close match and you lose and you say, damn, he got lucky and walk away, you didn't fucking learn anything. You're not seeing what you did wrong, what you did right, and figuring out how to be better. You're just sort of dismissing the match, and that's no good.
Yeah, I mean, in the most basic way, luck can be something, let's say, if your character does random things in the sense of, like Faust from Guilty Gear, he can throw out an item, but what he throws out is random and outside of the control of the player. You know, you can get lucky by, or unlucky, by just getting things that statistically you should be getting, but you're not. It simply happens that you don't get them. That's kind of an absurd way. And then luck in a more advanced way is just things aligning in a way that is extremely unfortunate for one person. Like, say, let's say, again, in Guilty Gear, you're playing Venom, who sets pool balls in the air, and they, when you hit them, they move depending on the angle and the strength they were hit at, stuff like that. You can sometimes accidentally, let's say, hit a ball and just, you know, it moves as a super slow ball and the opponent jumps over it, goes into you, and then, you know, you hit them back and without planning for it, they just end up landing on the ball that was inching away from the camera's view and like as the screen moves. So it can be weird stuff like that. It just happens and it's unplanned, and outside of people's control, but it just happens.
Yeah. And of course, I think, Mio, you noted here, and quite rightly, there are always external factors as well, right? Like maybe you're a little sick. Your health is not great that day. Maybe you've got a lot on your mind because of what's going on in your life. There's always other things that can factor into the match because the real world exists too. And sadly, we're not just detached consciousnesses locked to our fight sticks one day, maybe. But the rest of the world exists, and it can influence your game. You can lose because you had a bad day. And just don't... Like, that's a thing. Be aware of it. Don't let it affect your attitude towards the game. Don't blame them, and don't be a bad sport.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this little mini fighting game project of trying to learn Street Fighter 5 in the past 2 months. And I've just had situations where, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was doing ranked online. I lost every single match. I won 2 matches out of 15. Like, I got destroyed and I dropped down from, I don't know, Ultra Bronze back to whatever it was, like 400 points. I think that's like even rookie. Like, I got destroyed badly. And then last week, I played again, and I only lost 2 matches, and I won, like, 13 matches and got back to my ranking again. So, you know, I just had a bad day 2 weeks ago, and I had to accept that. It just happens. You know, like you said, you can't control it. And it was no particular reason. I was just tired, just wasn't focused or whatever. It can just be, you know, phases of the mood. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And another thing is sometimes getting better fortitude can help with some of that stuff. I'm not, you know, I don't mean that as an excuse, but you will see, like, pro players who, like, step off of an international flight that was, like, you know, 12 hours, and they're bleary-eyed and they're exhausted, and someone hands them a stick and they just fucking destroy somebody. So, you know, like, if it's really getting you down, that you end up having to play after a long work day and you're just exhausted and your mind is worn out, you'll eventually get kind of used to that if you do it too much.
Yeah.
So
I'd say we can just, to not have this go too long, just go over kind of how you can, if you're good at just a few of these things and not at all of them, how you can translate that into good the character or game choices. I know we talked about picking games or characters last time, but just in the context of this, how does that translate to practical use? So just to give maybe like the most basic example, we talked about knowledge being understanding all sorts of systems and subsystems in the game. And, you know, if you're good at that, that means you can understand games with a lot of on-screen mechanics, you know, health, super meter, guard bar, some games have that, then special meters for certain characters, then other non-explicit systems like instant blocking, perfect blocking, I don't know, enhanced blocking, parrying, all sorts of things. So the more, if you're good at that, then you kind of can wrap your head around games with more of those systems. But if you're bad at that, then you're probably better off just going with, you know, something that has less of it, like, you know, we mentioned Tekken last time, or, you know, Street Fighter doesn't have too much on-screen clutter or underlying mechanics in comparison to a lot of other games like KOF or, you know, Arc System Works games. So you can use that to kind of try and, if you're better at very simple, straightforward games, then you can just, like, pick something that doesn't have that that doesn't have that many underlying factors.
Mm-hmm. And alternately, like, I feel like the case for me, and maybe I'm inflating myself too much here, but I feel like my knowledge, like my ability to get new knowledge, is pretty strong, and that's part of why I'm really fond of BlazBlue, is because I may not have great execution, and my understanding may be kind of iffy, but I pick up new information like nobody's business, and BlazBlue has a whole bunch of stuff to learn, so it's great for me.
Yeah. And yeah, and then, you know, that also, like, translates into other skills like execution. You know, if you're bad at execution, then maybe you need a character that doesn't have overly long combos or complicated mobility options, you know, like double dash, air dash, double air dash, triple jumps, teleports. You know, if you have a hard time coordinating your character, then maybe you can pick a character that's more simple and straightforward, you know, like a grappling character or just a character that hits very hard for whatever reason, or a character that just uses one button and stays in the back and just summons blades everywhere. You can do those sorts of things. And also, you know, it also, like, affects, like, can you move in a 2D space? Can you move in a 3D space? Like, I know that I have a problem of maneuvering in Namco games. Like, I don't understand their concept of 3D space, and I frequently have spacing issues in those games. And it's simply just something I'm bad at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you figure out with your level of execution and stuff, like, how the different mobility options in a game sort of work for you. Because, yeah, like, as you say, I also find, like, if I play a Tekken or a Soul Calibur, the way movement works in that game just feels strange to me, and it makes me bad at them.
Yeah.
And also, in my example, I like King of Fighters, but the hops system in King of Fighters, where you have a bunch of different jumps that go different arcs and different heights, I am not used to and do not utilize well. And that feels a little weird to me, but it's also not overwhelmingly key, and I can get by without being that great at it. So
yeah, I'd say, and if I were to do a self-evaluation using the system we just discussed and trying to be reasonable with how I think I perform, I'd say that with knowledge, I'm probably too lazy for that. And it's just, like, because of the time investment, I'll understand what my character can do, and I'll understand the systems of the game, but then, like, learning other individual characters, it boils down to I learn as I go. So if it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, and I have a problem, I might look it up. But in a lot of games, I'll play against a character and be stumped until I just figure it out or sit down and learn it. But I don't go in pre-prepared. Like, I've never sat down for any fighting game and gone through each character's strategy or good or bad moves and stuff like that. That just, it's just, I don't set aside time for that. Execution. This is interesting because I'm good at reacting to things. I'm not that good at doing combos, but I learn basic combos for certain characters I play long enough. My issue, though, is I guess it depends on how the game handles input, because people say Street Fighter combos are, for example, very easy, but I have trouble with them because they're very frame-specific in terms of how you cancel one move into another, whereas in Guilty Gear or Blaze Blue, it's a bit easier for me because it has more generous cancel timing, but I'd say I'm pretty not good at combos, good at the other stuff. And then, you know, understanding and fortitude, I'd say those are my higher strengths in general. Mm-hmm. Which is why I just sit down and play parry characters if I can. And if they're fun in the game.
Yeah. And for me, I feel like knowledge is my one genuine strength. I pick it up a lot. I love to learn. And I always, you know, I'll read frame data. I think it's really fascinating. My execution is basically across the board poor. I am getting a little better at combos as we go, but my execution's never been great. Never been anything to write home about. My understanding is mediocre. It's fine. It's sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's not, and it's always tempered by, you know, execution, by being able to do what I have an understanding of. If you play me and I'm on mic, sometimes, to my credit or not, I don't know. But I'll be like, yep, knew that was going to happen. Didn't know what to do about it, but knew that was going to happen. And then fortitude is a weird one, and this is an interesting case, because I feel like my fortitude, as far as, like, keeping my mood and my spirits up, is basically fine. But I do have a tendency, when I'm against someone better than me, and I start to have an advantage, I kind of panic. Or when it's getting down to the wire again against someone who's better than me, I kind of fall apart. There are specific situations in which my fortitude just immediately falls to pieces. So
I'm kind of the opposite, because I do get frequently upset at fighting games, even if I don't show it. You know, even on mic, if I just like keep quiet and don't show it, I do still get upset at fighting games. But in terms of fortitude, I at least how can I say this? I at least manage usually to keep my cool. That's the part, like, in the sense of not choking too much. I train myself enough that when that happens, I at least sit down and say, okay, time for that reset. That was the thing I improved upon. I mean, I guess I improved upon both. Like, I don't vocally rage anymore, especially because I'm on mic nowadays when I play fighting games. And yeah, like, that fortitude part of just failing executions or being red constantly, it's more like a self-discipline thing of, okay, time to sit down, reevaluate, and reapproach this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know, I feel like that pretty well covers our, you know.
Yeah, it covers everything we wanted to talk about in general. If you want to like, read more about the, listen to more about this, there's a good video from Core A Gaming or Korea Gaming on YouTube. They actually also talk about the things that factors into playing a fighting game. And there's some overlap from what we talked about that kind of goes more into it boils it down even more than we do, like in even more basic aspects. But this is just like what we felt from a combination of what we've experienced from playing and general just like game design, because when you're making a game, like a fighting game as well, or analyzing it, these are the things that also come up and you consider, because it's the way people play your game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hope we've at least given you like a context in which to think about why things are going badly or poorly for you. Because understanding why things are happening is the first step to being a better player, I think.
Yeah.
So, and thanks so much for joining us, guys. Yeah, I don't know. God, I'm gonna have to edit this part because I don't fucking remember how we do our closing stuff.
So if you want to reach out or comment on this or just ask us more questions or specific topic to cover, you can hit up me up at MDK2. That's 2 with a Roman numeral on Twitter, or you can hit up Colin at 6264, which are all words on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good to remember that. And yeah, we'll likely respond if we can. And next month we'll try and cover a new topic in the same spirit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm excited. Like, it is. I did not originally expect this to be an entire episode, but the fact that it was is really exciting to me because that's just how much we have to talk about with this podcast. So.
Yeah, and there's still a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to talking about it with you. Just a real quick shout out. We are on iTunes, you guys, and if you want to go on there and give us a rating or a review, that is how you move up in iTunes rankings. That is how iTunes determines, you know, whether you're featured, how you're listed on iTunes in general is based on how many stars you get and how many positive reviews you get. And if you want to take just like 5 seconds to click on, you know, 4 or 5 or, you know, even 3 stars for us, that's a really big help for us and would help other people find the podcast, and that would be really great.
Or if you give us a 1, at least tell us which game we offended, so we can tackle it in a special episode, I guess.
I defend your right to give us 1 star, but it would be cool if you didn't, and if you had beef, you just messaged me and were like, hey fucko, maybe don't say this, and probably I'll take that seriously. 'Cause 1 star is bad. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Later.